The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to speak in the synagogue at Nazareth. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown all things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut down for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Generally, we don't like it when people tell us the truth about ourselves that we don't want to hear or want other people to know. Jesus escaped a mob after saying words of truth that people had a hard time digesting. We have here a classic example of the prophet Jeremiah. He was called a weeping prophet because of his lamentations over the sins of Israel and was persecuted by his own people for it. So Jeremiah started serving God at a very young age under a good king, Josiah, and also he lived through many wicked kings. But the truth is, Israel did not want to change its ways. Like Jeremiah, Jesus also confronted Israel leaders many times, but this time it was about their unbelief. His own town didn't believe. They didn't treat him with respect, just like it was with the prophet Jeremiah. And God wasn't going to sit and do nothing. And in Jeremiah's case, God gave him a mission. Go pluck up and pull down. Just like the way we remove an old wallpapers from our walls, or, you know, I hear some people do on their legs, they do wax their legs, and apparently it's very painful, but I've never done that. And God asked him as well to build and plant. In Jesus' case, he turned his favor to other cities, just like God did in the past, turning his favor outside Israel because of their unbelief. And this was a repeat, and it made his own town very mad. So today, we're going to learn something about God's character. Is our God the God of the outsider as much as he is the God of the insider? I want us to ponder on that. You know, God made us all just in case we think that God practices partiality. Now, why would Jesus remind his own town about the day in history where God's favor turned to strangers outside Israel, you know, like the widow Zarephath in Sidon, which actually is on northwest side of Israel, or Naaman the Syrian, who's the Syria is on the northeast side of Israel. You know, in fact, Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Jesus has been in Syria and healed a lot of people, the blind, the mute, the deaf. Everyone who's sick, they brought him and he healed them. And so did you think Israel was very fun with that idea? Like, you are born in Koryaville. You're supposed to be healing people in Koryaville. Why on earth would you go to California? We want you to heal people here. And there was a lot of element of sarcasm there, because in fact they didn't really believe in him. But here, by Jesus healing people outside of Israel, we can sense that God's commitment and love for all people that he has created. Not just his own people, the Israelites, but everyone else. But here is the thing. Could it be that Jesus was trying to help Israel and us to see the real value of belief, faith, and trust in him? How powerful that is. Do you believe? There is so much power that is in belief, including healing. So Jesus, didn't he wanted to, maybe he really wanted them to see that in him is the same God of Israel, Yahweh. You can, if you see Jesus, then you see that God of the Israelites that has been with the Israelites for years and years and years. That God that is the father of the fatherless, a good judge to widows and protector of the weak and the helpless and the cure of all ills. God's love is amazing and it extends to the other. It's normal for us to be cautious and suspicious for people we don't know. It's normal. The other people. Maybe for Israel, it was the Samaritans, because they accused them to be a mongrel race. They were Israelites who intermarried with other nations, and then so they kind of not like the race, the pure race like them. Does that mean that God does not love the Samaritans? No, try to convince them. Maybe for other nations, like a nations I come from, it's the other tribe, the other tribe. Maybe for us here, it's the other people, maybe our competitors or our team's rivals or even the people we just don't get along well. We call them they. In any culture you go to, there is a they. They will say, oh, there is us and there is a they. Anyone guilty like me? We call them they. Sometimes God reminds us that he created us all, even our enemies. Now, if outsiders are responsive to God's faith, God's favor is going to go to them. That's what I realized. Is it true that if God has a church in Baghdad, in Iraq, and people are flocking from everywhere in the country to go to that St. George's in Iraq, isn't that amazing? That God, in the midst of that country, is doing some miracles there. Isn't that amazing? It gives me goosebumps when I think about it. Evidence shows that God loves the nations, and that's us, the Gentiles, even though salvation came to Israelites first. God is in love with us. God is in love with you personally. Don't you remember the words he just told Isaiah, I knew you before you were born. All the trajectory of your life was in front of God. God knows that. Isn't that a great thing? I love you, God says. I'm in love with you. And I want my favor to go with you. So the other, in this case, represents someone who's different than you, who thinks differently, who may worship differently, and that covers a lot of people, even in one family. God summons our faith. Where is yours? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Where is your faith? Think about it. From Monday to Friday, where was I? Where was I on Tuesday? Did I display the faith in Jesus Christ when someone tried to just cut me off in traffic and how the stuff that were coming out of my mouth? Do I display Jesus' love there? Did I display that I have faith in Jesus Christ? Let us examine ourselves. Unfortunately, we do struggle with unbelief like Jesus' own town. Maybe it's time to pluck up and pull down all those things in our lives that are repellent to God's favor. If it feels like God is far from us, it's because we are the ones who moved away from God. Otherwise, God's love's embrace, God's holy embrace is always there for you to come in. Maybe there are things like our unbelief, our secular model and lifestyle that choke the good news of Christ in us and undermine its effectiveness in our lives. I want us to pray. Lord Jesus, help our unbelief. Increase faith in us and strengthen our resolve to dwell in you. Help us see your image in other people. Increase our love for you and for each other and for your church, those you purchased with your precious blood on the cross. Help us turn to you in repentance and conversion. Amen.